Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day. We're in a series called Trigger Words, and we're going to be taking a pause from that series. Because when connecting with a lot of you, and even looking on social media, there's a lot of things in the air, from vacation to we wish we were on vacation, you're excited to be off vacation, to things going on with you and your partner, to work, to too many grad parties, or you're throwing a grad party and it already feels like there's too many grad parties. I was talking to one parent of a senior who's graduating, and he said, just basically don't plan anything from like February to June. Just you're busy all the time. So there's a lot going on, and I thought, why not share a story that is very relevant? Now, here's the thing. I can't remember what I wore last Sunday. For all I know, I've worn this same exact outfit for the last 3 years, and you guys are too polite to say anything to me, all right? This story, I have no recollection of the last time I said it. It could have been last weekend, all right? So just be polite and laugh regardless, all right? But because of all those things in there, here's the story. I graduated from North Central University, a small little Bible college, and I got hired about a month before I graduated, and I got married, and we went out to Prince Edward Island, and we had a great time. We came back, and I started my new job, and this happened on the first minute on the clock of me being a pastor. So this isn't like a week or 2 weeks. This is like from moment, this is how I started my professional career. I'm in my car, we're in Wisconsin, and I'm driving to meet these other pastors in this very small town in Wisconsin is where we were pastoring. And there's gonna be some other pastors there, and they said, hey, before you go to the office, let's play golf. We'll introduce you to some other people. And I'm like, great, I can win some money before I go and make money as a pastor. That was a joke. But and as I'm driving there, in my first ride to any kind of pastoral thing, on the small little road, a car speeds up behind me and is like aggressively on my tail. And I tried doing like, I'm okay, God's enough for me. But of course, I'm like, what in the world is going on here? It's like fire is coming down from the heaven. And anyone else? You just feel like your survival is at risk because someone gets too close to your car, right? Anyone else? Yeah. I know you, Dick. I know. Yeah, right? My father-in-law had a truck that, or a bumper sticker that says, touch my truck, I'll punch you in your nose. All right? And so they're riding me, and I can't figure out why. I'm going 60 miles per hour, all right? I'm not going 55. Like, I'm a little progressive in my driving, all right? So, and all of a sudden, it clears up. They pass me, and I speed by, and the first thing that came to my mind, the window's open, is I went, whoop, finger right out the window, all right? And I look right in the eyes of them. It was like an aggressive thing. I did not plan on that. That wasn't like, you know, it'd be a great life decision, all right? It just came out of me, but something happened as they were, and it was this older couple, and they're driving by, and they weren't too happy about me driving in their state because I had Minnesota plates, and they go on, and it hit me when I did that. I still have not gone to church that I was going to be pastoring at. That means I don't know in this very, very small community who's going to be in that church. In a very small community. For all I knew, I was going to go to church, and they're saying, hey, our head deacon. And he looked at me, he's like, I know you from somewhere. No, you don't. All right? And I went to church on Sunday, because I only knew the pastor and the elder board. And I show up, and guess who's standing right there as the head deacon? Someone else. No, he didn't go to church. It was great. All right. All right, but here's the point of the story of there's times in your life when you get squeezed, right? It could be you see a political person, you see a celebrity, you see a slogan, you see a friend, you hear a word, you have someone drive too close to your car, right? And something will squeeze you. When you get squeezed, you're going to find out what's inside of you. What was inside of me in that moment was not heaven, right? It was not some good and beautiful thing. It was, there was something already in me that when I got pushed, I got pressed, I responded really out of hate, right? I don't think anyone would say, no, Chris, that's like a kind of loving thing. I could see Jesus maybe using both hands instead of one, right? And you never know when you get squeezed. My goal, what I want in my life, and I'm not there, newsflash, is that when I get squeezed, what I want to come out of me is the kingdom of God. What I want to come out of me is Jesus. And scanning this room, right, from buying a new house to walking through breast cancer, through having to change your narrative for your family, walking through debt, you are single and you're very okay with being single, but your friends aren't okay with you being single, or you're single and you're not okay with being single, of walking through justice issues. Like, you are all in hard places, and you have all been in hard places, and we are being squeezed. What would it look like to operate in this place of peace? Because everyone that I know wants peace. I've never seen anyone like outside picketing somewhere and saying, no more peace, no more peace, more anxiety, I love stomach aches, I love stomach aches, right? Right? No one's advocating for it, but we all want peace, but it is something that's very rare. It's not even something that is celebrated. We love, like, we love go, 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 go. We love win, 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 win. And in order to go, 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 win, 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 you have to continue to go, 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 and win, win, win. And peace can look differently than that at times. So how do you actually walk in peace? How do you actually get this idea of peace? And I really felt pressed to talk about this because I feel like there's a lot of us in this room, a lot of us at the cabin listening to this podcast are really happy for you, right? Like, that you can even be in peaceful situations. Like, you could be right now on the dock at your cabin on the lake and still being robbed of peace. What does it look like? That's where we start. And one of my favorite parts in the Bible is Colossians chapter 3. I love it. I had to memorize the chapter for this class I was a part of called The Good and Beautiful God, which is one of my favorite books. I'd highly recommend it. And the whole chapter is rich. But I'm going to read just two verses. Chapters are verses 14 and 15 out of Colossians 3. And Paul says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Ooh, I get the feels when I read that. Clothe yourselves with love. Like, what you wear can really share with the world who you are, right? Especially what you don't wear, right? If you don't wear clothes, you're telling people, hey, I'm comfortable. And we're like, great, see you later, right? Like, when I was 13, Zubas were really cool with starter jackets, right? Who had Zubas and a starter jacket? All right, yeah, of course you did, Kyle. No, you did not, Denny. Denny, my dad's like, yeah, I was really cool. Because the story is that I wanted Zubas, and I'm pretty sure my mom went out to a fabric store and bought, like, just the ugliest pattern that she could find, all right? And then sewed them up and gave them to us, right? Like, those were Zubas, and I felt really, really cool. That tells you, when you're 15, I am radical. I am cool, and I am in. If you still wear that today, Kyle Markshausen, you're still saying, my best time of my life was when I was 15. That's what you're saying if you wore that now, right? Like, to clothe yourself in love means this is who we are. This is how you can see me. This is how I behave. And it's also when you wrap yourself up, it's not just something you hold on to. It's something that surrounds you. It's something that covers you. And what it's covering, even though you have some beautiful things inside of you, even though you may have some complex things inside of you, what it is wrapped up in is love. And when you walk down the aisle of Aldi, right, and you have to bump into people, when you're rubbing shoulders with people, what you're rubbing up with is love. And Paul's using this metaphor, really, of saying it's something that you get to choose to pick up. It's something you get to operate and move in. It is something that you can even be branded or known and seen as love. Then he goes on to, and let the I should read it here, and which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. So we are clothed in love, and then let the peace of Christ rule. And this is a very interesting word, that peace rules. When you think about ruling, if you think about the way that our country rules, pretty much any country, the way you think about they rule is with, if we were just like a country like Switzerland, right? We're like, we are going to really rule in peace. We're happy for everyone, right? And you have like our country, we rule with power, right? The way the police station works is with, and this is not, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, right? The way the police officers work is we give them the power, right? They rule with power. They rule with force. How does the court work? It rules with power. It rules with decisions. And you think of any kind of army or any kind of kingdom, it is with strength, and sometimes it's the positive way, and sometimes they take advantage of the power. But to rule is with power. This kingdom, this Christ, rules in a different way. It rules with peace. And this peace is different. Because we really do like the idea of peace, but the way we think about peace, like this, even this word peace, is like, imagine that you were like just standing like in like a puddle. A lot of us think of peace as just something like, it's like something we can just hold on to for a little bit, right? Really, the way that we think of peace is even a lack of something. It's like a lack of punching people in the face, right? That's a good place to start. If you're like, I need some peace, lack of punching people in the face. It's a lack of murdering people, right? It is a lack of wars. It is a lack of using racial insults. It's a lack of a lot of things. And that's one way of looking at peace. The way that the Bible talks about peace is something completely different. The word is called shalom. And shalom is a very nice word. It gives us the warm fuzzies, like, ooh, shalom. I even feel peace when I say it. But the word shalom is like back to the puddle. If you're standing in a puddle and that's your idea of peace and it's going to bump up against my feet, or it's going to be like a cup, it's something I can hold onto and say, wow, I really love this peace. Shalom, then, is like being fully immersed. It's like jumping in the Chub Lake, heaven on earth, right? You jump in the Chub Lake, shalom is... I don't know why you're laughing at that. right? It's not funny. I have feelings too. So, and I have the microphone, all right? It's like shalom then. It'd be like immersing yourself completely in water. That peace is touching every square inch of not just your body, but your being. Of your emotions, your soul, your mind, your intellect, your creativity. That it covers absolutely everything. And the difference between standing in a puddle and just being immersed in it is completely different. Because then the way that you move, the way you view the world, is through this fullness. Not a lack of something, but a fullness of something. And you're in that shalom life, right? In that fullness of love, in that fullness of peace. Things are going to come up. Anxiety will come up. I just had a great talk with one of my friends about anxiety. It's like that anxiety is going everywhere with you. Like if you have anxiety, like I am in that club, not proudly like, yeah, right? But I'm in that club. That anxiety I see, I feel every day. And it's not going anywhere, right? It's going to go with me everywhere I go. And instead of me just saying, I'm going to pretend I don't have it, and I meet with a professional, I was on medication for a while, and those things absolutely help. I believe that's a gift from God. But shalom also, not indifference, but also with that, I can look at it and say, but you still don't get to decide who I am. You're coming with me. I wish you weren't, but you're coming with me. Your depression, your trauma, your excitement, your sadness, your loneliness, your accomplishments, your deep disappointments, they're coming with you. But when we operate out of peace, we operate out of love, we operate out of this fullness of this kingdom of God, this fullness of this peace, this fullness of this love, we can look at it and say, but you don't own me. You can swim in the waters with me all you want, and that's great, but you don't get to define, you don't get to dictate, you don't get to tell me what my value is, you don't get to tell me what my worth is. Why? Because in shalom, I'm swimming in the sea of love. Of a good, good Father, of a good and beautiful God, who says who I am in this moment, anxiety, in frustration, or in celebration, I'm deeply loved. I love that. And that's the kind of life that I want. I want to walk through some incredibly hard things instead of responding in fear. Because isn't it really easy when something hard happens, we respond in fear? What are we going to do? Like graduating high school, right? You guys are all really scared probably about going to college and moving out of your parents' home, right? Right? No. You're like, get me out of here, right? But there's still an element of fear. And if you react out of fear, you're going to operate in a lack of something. You respond in love. When you're swimming in that sea of shalom, when you're swimming in the sea of heaven itself, then you know that whatever is in front of you, God has already gone in front of you as well. Great, Chris. Do we just jump in Chubb Lake? Yes, that is the answer, right? Every time. How do we then step into that peace? How do we step into that shalom? And I love this. Jesus in Matthew 5 says this, verse 42. You have heard it, get out of there. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And you can read this in two different ways. You can read this in a lot of different ways. But you can read in one way of viewing it is Jesus saying, hey, love your neighbors. You heard, like, love your neighbors, hate your enemies. Or love your friends, hate your enemies. He's saying, love your neighbors. That means, like, everybody. But then he goes on to this word of, the sun rises on the good and the evil, essentially, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust, or the righteous and the unrighteous. And you can look at that and say, wow, Jesus is really making it us versus them, right? It's one way of looking at it. Other way of looking at it is Jesus is speaking to the powers in the room. The powers on the Sermon on the Mount, the people who were there, were the least and the last, the marginalized, oppressed, also like the average at best, and it was also the elites, the religious insiders, and the religious outsiders. It'd be easy. The way they operated was in and out. And if you were a part of their tribe, you were part of their religious institution, and you believed and operated and practiced in this way, you were righteous. And anyone else outside of that, that's what they called Gentiles. That'd be called anyone who was sick, was weak, was different, right? They were pushed out because only the strong survive. And Jesus is saying, that's why he frames it, of you say love these people and hate these people. He says love everyone. Then he goes, and guess what? The sun is falling on everybody. You might call them unjust, you might call them unrighteous, you might call them evil, you might call, whatever you call them, the same sun that's falling on you is also on them. There is no us versus them. It is us. It is that you are made in the image of this good and beautiful God, and at the core of who you are is love. Shalom. It's peace. And I love that idea of how do you get in on this good and beautiful God? How do you get in on the shalom? Is like in the same way, like how do you get in on the sun, right? You receive it. You step into it. How do you get in on the rain, which is going to happen in about like 10 minutes for you guys, right? Like the rain doesn't just like fall down and say, I'm going to pick you, Chris, because you're a horrible person. All the rain just follows me, right? It's not like Charlie Brown. Like the way you receive shalom, the way you receive the grace of God, the way you receive this love by simply stepping out, stepping in, and receiving it. And that's how you get peace. Now, here's three lies. And all three of these lies I've heard from people this past week, honestly. This is lie number one of saying, oh, Chris, that's a great idea, but I don't get peace. I don't get this shalom. Number one is because my issue is so much less than others. There is kids on the southern border sleeping on concrete floors, aluminum blankets, right? No toothpaste, no soap. Like, my issue with my anxiety, my issue of what's happening in my job, my issue what's happening in my marriage, no. Like, it is significantly less than this. So I don't deserve God's peace. I don't deserve God's love. I don't deserve God's grace because there's a real problem over here. But here's the issue with that. And I hear this over all the time. There's a parable that Jesus says about people showing up to work and they get a wage. and the wage is like, let's say, $50 an hour. It's a good wage. And they work all day, and people keep coming, and they get the same wage. And one guy shows up like 5-10 minutes before the work shift is over, and that guy gets the same amount of money. The people at the beginning are saying, hold up, I worked all day. This guy for like works 5 minutes, and he gets the same amount of money as I did? That's unfair. And what Jesus is saying is this. When we say there's only enough love to go around and we better save it, reserve it for like the children on the border, now that's very important. But your issue with your job, your issue with your mental health, your issue in your relationship, your issue with being nervous about going on vacation because things with you and your partner aren't so great, like that is important as well. And God's love can't be divided, because you cannot divide infinity, right? If there's only so much, we could parcel out and say, okay, God's the shalom, I'll just take a little bit because I want to save it for my neighbor, right? You can't divide infinity, and that's the point of the parable. You can't divide infinity. If there's one thing I want you to walk away with is that idea of you can't divide infinity. You can't divide God's love. You're worth it. Number two, so we go from my issue so much less, is number two is I'll work harder, then I'm better. That is pretty much to every single male in this room, right? When I talk to guys, I'm like, hey, when's the last time you saw a doctor? And they're like, what's that? Right? Like, what do you mean I have to see my doctor? I'm not almost dead yet, right? We have this idea of, as humans, not just men, we have these humans, when we experience pain, we experience a lack of peace, we just think, I got to buckle down, right? I got to buckle down. And buckling down is good. If you're doing something actively to bring anxiety or pain or fear in your life, and you can like not do that, right? You might like not drink way too much. That might help you. But it's not just a lack of doing something. Like I said earlier, it's also entering in the fullness of something as well. So it's not just avoiding something. It's actively doing something and receiving it from God. And the third lie is, I deserve this. And this is where I end. I talked to someone this week of saying, I deserve this pain in my life because of this decision I made. And it was interesting to me that the way that we view God is that if we cross God, he is, I better not say that word, he is very angry, right? Almost to the point that he hates you. Like, you see, you become what you worship. You become what you worship. And the way you view God, the way that you think about God, we say this often, the way you view God matters. Because if you act in such a way of saying, I deserve this punishment, I deserve this kind of life, I deserve being unemployed, I deserve this back pain, your view of God is actually so angry at you that he's okay with you walking with that pain. He is like actually encouraging it. You cross me, I'll show you. And that is not who God is, friends. You do not deserve that pain. This shalom, this peace. I even had a friend right before a church, Jamie Jevjeski, looked at me and she goes, breathe, Chris. And I went, just easily. She goes, that's not deep enough, solder. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Jamie. She even like wanted me to put my hands up. And like, it's like, you are worth the breath. You are worth the breath. You are worth the breath. This God is actively inviting you to peace and to shalom. So I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. In like 2 seconds, I'm going to ask you to stand. And one, it's a great way to let you know that we're going to wrap up so you can go to that grad party, right? That's number one. Number two, physically moving into a different physical stance is a way for our body, and I even believe our spirit, to prepare to receive something. From sitting in one place, I'm receiving one sort of element. And when I change space, I change my physical being, it's a way of saying, I want to receive as well. And if you are here and you're experiencing anxiety, pain, any of those things, and you want that shalom, God is here. That sunlight is here. That rain is here. Let's stand and let's pray. So God, will you come? And I thank you that what we are invited into is not a life of try harder. It's more than just a life of be better. But then we wake up, we are loved. And that shalom is everywhere. This life-giving peace, the fullness of the kingdom of God, of heaven itself, is not somewhere else. It is here. And I pray for my friends in this space, I pray for my friends listening on this podcast, that even now, that we can receive that shalom, we can receive that love. And this may help you, but even like visualizing of picking up that jacket of love. Like God put that jacket, and he's saying, put it on, and we pick it up, and when we wrap ourselves, we clothe ourselves in love. And we take off that shirt that says, I am disgusting. We take off that shirt that says, I am damaged goods. I am seventh best. And thank you for the gift that we can operate in love. And I pray for peace. For people who are walking with anxiety or depression, who are walking around with physical pain in their bodies, who are walking with emotional trauma. My friends graduating or already graduated high school, I ask God that peace would come close, that we would be immersed in it. So we love you, God, and thank you that you're incredibly good. Amen. We have a ministry team. I'm going to ask them to come up. We take time to worship a little bit longer. We also take time to pray for one another. Because if you're here in one of those things, you're feeling a lack of peace, you're feeling some of those things, you don't have to do it alone. And the people up here would love nothing more than to pray with you and for you. Feel free to stay along and worship with us as long as you want. And thank you for being in this space with us.